in verse number 1. We'll read down to the 9th chapter to begin, and then we'll move forward through this message together. The Bible says the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones from mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together in your name and to open your word and to learn and to grow. And I pray you would help us, Lord, to glean these wonderful truths from your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts if we're straying from you. I pray, Lord, that you would set us back on the right path, that you would help us to, for you to be our vision, Lord, to turn our eyes upon you in these days. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do a work of grace in our heart and in our life. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Bible is truly an incredible book. And the scriptures that we have before us, Isaiah chapter 13, is truly amazing in its context and in its message. Now, most Bible critics, when they look at Isaiah chapter 13, it completely drives them crazy. I mean, they just cannot understand how God can prophesy here of the destruction of Babylon. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds of years before Babylon would be destroyed. We know about 100 years that Judah would be captured by Babylon, and then 70 years of captivity. And then beyond that, the prophecy of the Bible is that this nation would be conquered and completely destroyed. Now, critics of the Bible have an issue with this, and I'm not going to get into all the issues that they have. In fact, they have such an issue that they've created this theory of what they call two Isaiahs, that they believe that this is so far in the prophecy, that there's so many years that this was prophesied for, that there's no way possible that an individual could prophesy these events so far back, that there had to have been someone else that prophesied after these events occur. Now, we understand as Bible believers and Bible students that God is able, amen? And I mean, God can prophesy, and God sees the events in the future. I mean, history is His story, and He knows all the events that are going to take place. And yet, critics have a problem with the timing of this prophecy, and they have a problem with the accuracy of this prophecy. And I look at this, and I think, wow, what an incredible God that we serve, that He could prophesy these events hundreds of years before they take place with such accuracy. It really shows us that we serve a powerful, mighty God. Now, remember that the Bible is always culturally in touch. I mean, it's never culturally out of touch. Its truth is practical and relevant for our lives each and every day. And the message of this passage of Scripture goes beyond just prophesying the destruction of Babylon, but it also speaks of the judgment of a world system that ultimately has rejected Almighty God. The near fulfillment, of course, is the destruction of Babylon. But as Bible students, we understand the ultimate plan of God, and we see in this passage of Scripture the ultimate fulfillment of the destruction of Babylon as far as a world system, the spirit of Antichrist that has tried to replace the Lord in this world. And so, you know what? When we look at this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 13, I hope you understand we have a miracle before us. I mean, this truly is an incredible passage of Scripture. And so we get to open up this miracle and we get to read about it and learn about it. It truly is a wonderful blessing. So let's jump right into this message. Number one, I want us to think about the message, a message to Babylon. A message to Babylon. Now, this is written directly to Babylon. This is a letter to the Babylonians. Of course, the Babylonians would probably never read it. But yet, I believe that God is teaching His people that, first of all, judgment is coming, that sin will be judged. But also, because Babylon would be the enemy of God's people, that God is a protector of this people. Let's look at the Bible says, verse 1, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth up the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land. Now, let's consider this nation here of Babylon for just a moment. Isaiah finished his prophetic calling in around 685 B.C. Now, this is almost 100 years before Judah finally fell before the Babylonian Empire in about 586 B.C. At the time of this prophecy, Babylon was a significant nation, but they definitely were behind the Assyrian nation in status and might. And so the message that we have before us is prophesied before Babylon would even get to their height and to the might and influence as an empire. And yet God has a message for this nation. We see, first of all, in verse 1, the burden of Babylon. It speaks here that this is a significant message. This is a message that is hard to hear. This is a message that is weighty. And so here we find the imagery describing the destruction of this empire. We see letter A, first an army comes up against them. In verse number 2 and 3, the Bible says, the Bible says, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. The powerful army that's described so vividly in this passage of Scripture is King Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia. He destroyed Babylon in 539 B.C. And when this took place, this arrogant nation of the Babylonians was shocked by the fact that they fell under the leadership of Cyrus the Great. In fact, as we look here at this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that every man's heart shall melt. Now, I don't have time to build this out, but you can take some time and read through the book of Daniel, the fifth chapter. In Daniel chapter 5, it speaks of the last days of Belshazzar, right before the Persians attacked the Babylonians. And so you can read through Daniel chapter 5. There'll be great devotions for you some morning. And you can read about how arrogant and how prideful this king was. And we find that God's judgment upon them. In fact, the Word of God says here that they will be afraid. Their faces shall be set aflame. They will be amazed one at another. I mean, there's no doubt about it that this is a surprise attack. And they are shocked by the fact that their strong nation is destroyed. Let me tell you something, friend. No king and no nation is ever a match for Almighty God. And we find it in this passage of Scripture. Verse number 4, the Bible says, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the house of the battle. That word there, mustereth, is the idea of visitation or visit. God is going to use the Persians to judge the Babylonians. And so God is going to meet and visit the Babylonians and judge them for their arrogancy and their proud heart. We see letter B this morning, the terrors of judgment. And it really does get into some really great detail of how this nation would be conquered and ultimately destroyed. In verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in the going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of their place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of this of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. And shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. And every one that is found shall be thrust through. And every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. I mean, just a horrible, terrible picture of war that we find in the Scripture, of death and destruction upon the Babylonians. And so we find a great army will come up upon this people. And in verse number 9, it teaches us that when everything is said and done, that this land will lay desolate. The arrogance of this people will be judged one day. And we find it in this passage of Scripture. By the way, let me say this. You know, sometimes we have the attitude when it comes to sin and consequence that we've gotten away with it because, you know, maybe a year has passed or 2 years have passed. And yet I want to remind you that we reap what we sow. That's a biblical promise. We reap what we sow. And the reality is that sin will be judged. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, though for many years Babylon was an arrogant and wicked nation, finally we find the judgment of God upon them. And we find in the Scripture a really terrible picture of slaughter and destruction. But we see letter C here, Babylon will be desolate. Verse 19, in Babylon the glory of kingdoms and the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, anytime it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, it's never a positive thing. It's always a negative experience and a negative truth. And I think we find in the Scripture a couple of thoughts. First of all, I think it speaks of the complete destruction of the Babylonians or Babylon. In fact, if you look at verse 20 of Isaiah 13, the Bible says it will never be inhabited. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch a tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. The agency of Babylon, once it's conquered and destroyed, it will never be inhabited again. and this is true. This is true over history. We see that to be true. And yet we see that God completely made this nation desolate. This is the judgment of God upon Babylon. But number two, I want us to consider the thought, the message to the world. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Burns. I notice your points there. And I notice that you're using the same verses all over again. So you can't have it both ways. What is it? Is it a message to Babylon and the destruction of Babylon? Or is it a message to the world and the destruction of the world? And the answer to that question is yes. It is both. I mean, really, the Bible is an incredible book, and we understand that only God could have penned it. It's such wonderful accuracy and such wonderful truth. And God took the judgment of Babylon, and He placed it on top of the ultimate judgment of the world, and He prophesied of these two events the very same time. It's wonderful. He says in chapter 11, or chapter 13, verse 11, look at the Bible says here in our text, and I will punish the world. Look at that. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. The phrase, the day of the Lord, is found 26 times in the Word of God. And the day of the Lord speaks of the day when God set things right. The day when God makes things right again. It's almost like we're living in the day of man, and one day the world will experience the day of the Lord. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that the day of the Lord is at hand. Now, God's people, when they considered Babylon, they considered Babylon as the world. That's how they saw Babylon. Babylon, in fact, is mentioned in the Bible 287 times. 287 times we find that name Babylon. It's used almost as much as Jerusalem in the Bible. And so it has a lot of significance when it comes to biblical truth. Babylon was a literal city on the Euphrates River. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, in verses 1 to 10, it was at Babylon that humanity first organized rebellion against God. We understand that the Tower of Babel is where this happened. And so Babylon was also the capital of the city that cruelly conquered Judah. Throughout the Bible, Babylon is associated with organized idolatry. Babylon is associated with blasphemy. Babylon is associated with the persecution of the people of God. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Babylon represents the world system of the last days, not just commercially, but also religiously. It speaks of Babylon. And so Babylon speaks of a world system that in their arrogance has rejected God. And so when the Bible speaks of the destruction of Babylon, of course there's a near fulfillment of the actual destruction of this city, but also there is a complete and an ultimate fulfillment of the destruction of Babylon as a world system that has ultimately rejected God. Now, I hope you're still with me here. Revelation chapter 6, let's turn there. And notice how we read these verses here in Isaiah 13. And notice how they come together with other prophetic passages of Scripture. Revelation chapter 6 in our Bible. Revelation chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Matthew chapter 24, we could turn there. Bible teachers believe that Jesus could have even been thinking about Isaiah chapter 13 when he quoted this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 29. The Bible says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." So God will bring about in this world a great judgment. Now we call this the tribulation or the great tribulation. In fact, verse 9, the Bible says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." And so we find ultimately the destruction of Babylon as it represents the world system that has rejected God. Letter A this morning, let's consider this. The world is not a friend of God. The world is not a friend of God. In fact, Jesus said this, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Now when we talk about the world, we're not talking about obviously the birds and the trees of the creation of God. But we're talking about Babylon. We're talking about this system of beliefs, this culture that is anti-God, this culture that fights against God. And this is nothing new. I mean, we look at it in 2021 and we can't say, well, you know, it's always been hard to be a Christian living in the world. Listen, it's always been hard being a Christian living in the world. The world has always fought against Bible truth. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The Christian is not to love the world. We understand that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we're not to love the world because this system is anti-God. Now, we're not just talking about a culture that's anti-God, but we're also talking about a religious system that is of the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we understand that in the last days, a man, the Antichrist, will establish a kingdom upon this world, obviously led by the devil himself, and he will establish an economic system, a one-world government, and he will also establish a one-world religion. And that opinion has changed over time. A lot of people believed it was the Catholic Church many years ago. And now there's kind of a trend pushing into the fact that it could be Islam because of the similarities in the last days and what the Bible teaches. But it may be a religion that we've never heard of that's established in that day. We don't know, but we do know there will be a one-world religious system. And the Antichrist will be at the front of that, and the false prophet will lead people and direct people to ultimately bow down before the Antichrist. Now, oftentimes when we think of Antichrist, we think, well, what does it mean? Well, it means against Christ, right? Antichrist, against Christ. But that's not what it means. The word Antichrist actually means instead of Christ. And so the Antichrist will force people to bow before him and to worship him as God. But the Bible teaches us that this system of belief is already in the world. In fact, John said this, that you've heard of Antichrist, that he will come into this world. He said, listen, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And we see that in our world today with various religions and the system of belief that has replaced Jesus Christ with another way to heaven. Listen, I'll tell you this right now. This is what matters. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only way that a man can have their sins washed away. He is the only way that a man can go to be born again, to have life eternal. Jesus Christ is the only way. But the spirit of Antichrist, the Babylon of this world, ultimately will be judged by Almighty God. Now, I want us to think about letter B here. God's judgment is sure. God's judgment is sure. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 13 and look at what the Bible says here in verse number 14. The Bible says this, verse 14, "And it shall be," this is speaking here of the judgment of Babylon as a literal city, but also Babylon as an economic religious system. "And it shall be as a chaste robe." Now, the thought of this passage of Scripture is of a deer that is running from its prey. And if you know anything about, let's say, a lion that's hunting down a deer, it doesn't run after the fastest, and it doesn't run after the strongest. It always runs after the weakest and the lame. And the thought of this passage of Scripture is, listen, this judgment is going to come, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. It is a losing cause. God is going to judge the world. He is going to judge the world. And God's judgment will come. Now let's think about this in a near fulfillment for just a moment. I think this will encourage you. Let's think about it in a near fulfillment. Because the reality is that we live in 2021, and we have a better perspective of what the events of the Bible are. I mean, the reality is in 539 BC, the judgment of Babylon came. And Babylon was destroyed. That nation completely was wiped out. Nothing left. It became completely desolate. And yet, when we look at what our Bible says here, we are reminded of the fact that the judgment of the Babylon of this world, or a world that has rejected God, a world that has rebelled against God, when we look at the Scripture, we're reminded of the fact that, listen, the near fulfillment took place, and the ultimate fulfillment one day will also take place. God always keeps His Word. And we can take it to the bank this morning, knowing and understanding that God's Word is sure. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Look what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 3. You probably have seen this Scripture before. The Lord Jesus is preaching here to the Pharisees, and He says in chapter 16 verse 3, "And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites," Matthew chapter 16 and verse 3, "O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Now, the context of the passage of Scripture was Jesus speaking to these religious leaders who had the law before them and had seen the miracles of Jesus and all the prophecies of the Messiah fulfilled before their very eyes. And Jesus said, listen, you can look at the sky and you can see a red sky and you can know that, hey, there's some bad weather coming, and you can do that, but you can't even look at the prophecy of the Old Testament. You can't even look at the law, and you can't even see that the Savior is right in front of you. And oftentimes it's difficult to see events as we're in the middle of it. It's hard to discern those events, being right in the middle of those events. And yet, it is my conviction that we as a people, we as believers, are living in, like, the last days, of course, is between the cross and the coming of Jesus. We're in the last days, obviously. But I believe we're in the last days of the last days. And I think there's signs are in the sky. I think we see a lot. We understand more of prophecy because we see it being fulfilled before us. Even in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, when the Bible says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." And He describes for us the time of the end. He says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." I mean, think of our world today. People running to and fro, being able to travel anywhere in the world in 8 hours. You can be almost anywhere in the world, maybe longer than 8 hours, but you get the idea. I mean, you can jump in an airplane and you can go, well, probably not now, but you get the idea as well. You can travel. People go to and fro all of the time, and knowledge will increase. Have you heard of something called Google? Is that something you've heard of? I mean, you can type in any question you want, and it's going to pull from websites and databases all over the world. I mean, knowledge has increased, and people have traveled and can travel to and fro. I just believe that we're coming to the end, folks. And I think we find that this judgment is nearer today than it was a year ago or 2 years ago. The reality is that Jesus is coming again. And I believe the trumpet will sound, the saints will be taken away, and the world will enter into a time called a tribulation. And there will be great destruction upon this world as God judges the Babylon or a society that ultimately has rejected the Lord. Let her see. We need to understand that today is the day of salvation. So what does it mean for us? I want you to write down. I don't have time this morning to get more into this verse. I wish I did. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. You could write that down and take some time to study it. It's a wonderful scripture. The Bible says this in verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. The message of the Bible is clear. To accept the message of the Lamb of God, or one day you'll face the wrath of the Lion of Judah. And one day the Bible says that the sun will not just shake the earth, and I think it represents the message of God from heaven, but he'll also shake the heaven, which speaks of the judgment of God upon the earth. And so we need to realize that today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, friend, the message of the Bible is hear the Son today. The judgment of God is coming. Hear the Son today. What is the message? The message is the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what is the consequence of rejecting God? Well, the Bible says this, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The consequence of rejecting God is ultimately the judgment for our sin. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? As God fulfilled this near fulfillment of the destruction of Babylon, God will also judge the world system, the Babylon of our world. And this judgment is sure. It will come to pass. As historians will tell you, yeah, Babylon was destroyed. Listen, the reality is God will also judge this world. What's the message for the church? Number three, not only the message for Babylon and not only the message to the world, but I believe there's a message to the church here this morning, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that the things that are written in the Old Testament are for our ensamples, for our admonition. We can learn from them. And I think we have a wonderful truth here. And I think we need to realize these principles as we read this scripture. And I wish I had more time to talk over them and look over them. But first of all, letter A, God always keeps his word. And I think that's really the pillar truth here this morning, is that God always keeps his word. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. When God makes a promise, it's going to come to pass. When God makes a promise, it's going to come to pass. You can take it to the bank. You can build your life upon it. It's a sure thing. God always keeps his word. And if the prophecies in the Bible are given to us to show to us, and I believe they're given to us to show us credibility and reliability of the promises of God, then friend, we can conclude this morning that God always keeps his word. Letter B, the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. God's Spirit will not always strive with men. And the judgment, I believe, of God is near. And so as a church, we need to be busy doing our Father's business. You know, today's the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then the Bible's invitation is the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Today's the day to get saved. And for the church, for those who know the Lord as their Savior, our job today is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because ultimately, ultimately, we know the day of the Lord is at hand. And then let me say this, you can trust God. Let her see. You can trust God. You know, why was this all rehearsed to Israel? I mean, think about it. It's a message written to Israel. Why was this rehearsed to Israel? I think it's rehearsed to Israel because God is saying in this scripture, listen, you can trust me. You can trust me. I mean, if God can prophesy events hundreds of years before a nation was even capable of fulfilling that prophecy, and give us a picture of the destruction of Babylon in great accuracy and preciseness, then we can rest assured that God is in control of all the events of our world today. That God has everything under control. Could you trust a God like that? I could trust a God like that. A God that has that much control over our world. I mean, friend, listen, God loves us and cares about us. And we can rest assured, as the people of God, that He is in control. You know, this is a really wonderful passage, and maybe I'll take several weeks preaching on it and breaking it down even more. But it's just a great truth for us as Christians to know that God keeps His word, that God is in control, and that we can trust Him every step of the way. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for all that You've done, and we're grateful, Lord, for Your blessings, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to study Your Word and to look at these biblical truths. And so, Lord, I pray You would encourage us through Your Word this morning. Lord, as we see from the light of Scripture that You're in control of the events in our world and that we can trust You every step of the way. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.